Hi, my name is Jennifer Marsman, and I am live from Build 2016 at the Moscone Center. And I'm here with Matt Winkler. Matt, could you introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Matt Winkler. I'm a group program manager on the Big Data team.
Awesome. And we heard some really cool announcements from the Big Data team today during the day two keynote, where they talked about some customer success stories. And specifically, there were two ones that were addressed where you saw some really cool stuff from AccuWeather and how they are using the phenomenal amount of big data that you get from all of that weather data to actually save lives in terms of tornadoes and things like that. And we also saw, I think, Schneider Electric, is it?
Yep.
And how they're using HD Insight as well, which is our Hadoop on Azure offering. And so are there any other customer success stories that you could share with us around using big data on Azure?
Yeah. So we've got a couple that are kind of fun to talk about. The first one kind of builds on those first two, which is also an IoT scenario, which is about wind turbines.
And
so,
turbines.
Like, a wind turbine will emit every 25 milliseconds, like 10 different data points. And then every second, it'll emit 40 data points, all about how different pieces and parts of the turbine are functioning, how they're working, those types of things. And so if you think about that from a big data perspective, typically a wind turbine's in a wind farm that's got hundreds of turbines times, you know, hundreds of wind farms around the world, you very quickly kind of just start multiplying things and
it's
it gets bigger
data.
And bigger and bigger.
Yes, it's a lot of data.
Yeah, and so there's three interesting things that they're doing with big data from that perspective. And the first one is what they're doing is really just using big data, HD Insight in particular, to load their data warehouse. And so this is interesting because, you know, if you think about how expensive a data warehouse is, you have to be really careful about what you put there because you have to make sure you get the ROI out for how much money you're spending to go run the thing. And so you never need to put the 25 millisecond record there. You can put that someplace really cheap, like Azure Blob Store or Azure Data Lake Store. And then what they'd use is they use Hive, which is a SQL on Hadoop technology, in order to reduce that data set down into, you know, 15-minute aggregates, and that's what they load into their data warehouse.
Okay, and then they do, I assume, processing and analysis against those aggregates.
Yeah. So that's where they have their, you know, their folks who use Excel and lots of other tools that know how to talk to SQL in order to go, you know, figure out how the various turbines are performing and how the wind farms are performing and those types of things. So the second interesting thing that they did was then moved more into, let's just not look at what happened last week, let's try and understand what we can predict. And so they took that data set, they mashed it up with their servicing records. So when they have to send out a technician to say, because something broke, for instance. And what they were able to do there is start trying to find what are the correlations for, you know, when a turbine is going to fail. And so that's more of the predictive maintenance scenario, which is, hey, how can we look at all these signals that are coming in and identify, hey, now we think something might break.
Predictive maintenance is huge, especially in the big data world. I know one of the prepackaged solutions that we offer through Azure IoT is around a predictive maintenance scenario.
Yeah. And then the final thing that's interesting is what they were actually able to do is turn around and monetize all of that data. So they were able to go back to the people who buy their turbines, these are the power companies, and say, hey, you know, we now have different tiers of our servicing plans. When you buy the turbine, you know, at different layers, we'll give you different types of analytics and different access to that type of data. And so you can do things like, how is my wind farm performing relative to my peer group that's in a similar geographic region, which is really interesting to their customers.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. What a great customer story.
It's kind of a fun one.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is cool. Are there others?
Yeah. So the second one is a company called Just Giving. And we've talked about them a couple of times at a few different events, but Just Giving is a social giving site. And so, like, if you've ever seen on, like, your Facebook feed, hey, someone's raising money for something.
Yes.
They're one of these sites. And they've been very, very successful. They've raised, I think, over $3 billion for various causes.
That's wonderful.
But what's interesting about it is they found it was very, very transactional. So you would see something on your Facebook feed and you would say, oh, yes, I'd like to donate $25 to this cause. You'd go and donate and then you'd never come back again.
Probably.
You're a good person, but
yes,
you donate, but it's just not top of mind for you.
Right.
And what they wanted to do was increase the engagement with the site.
Okay.
And if you think about the set of data that they've got three different interesting data sets. The first one is, hey, Jennifer donated $25. They've got all of their transactional records.
Okay.
Then they've got a giant body of all of the various causes.
Okay.
So you donated to, an animal shelter in your hometown. The other data set that they have is oftentimes after you complete one of these donations, there's a button that says, hey, share this on Facebook.
Okay.
Right? And so that then goes, and now all of your friends on Facebook see, oh, I also might want to go donate.
Okay.
But this actually builds up a really interesting data set, because what they get to see is they get insight into the graph of who are you connected to, what are your various interests, you like animal shelters, you live in, you know, this city, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so that ended up being about an 800 million node graph.
Wow.
And if you remember back, you know, trying to figure out shortest path algorithms,
yes,
and all those things,
yes, good times.
Computer science,
yep,
it gets hard with 800 million nodes.
Yes.
You can't just, you know, write a quick little Python script to kind of do that on your machine.
Yeah.
And so what they did was take all three of those data sets, and what they'll do is once a night, they'll spin up an HD Insight cluster. They'll run some graph processing algorithms on top of that to come up with a set of recommendations that they then turn around and load into the systems that power their website.
Okay.
And so what they're now able to do is they're able to see when you come in, oh, I know a little bit more about you now. I know your interests. I know some of your friends' interests. I know that there are these causes that are in your neighborhood, and they can actually give you much more relevant suggestions to say, oh, would you also like to donate to this? Or send you a reminder to say, hey, you know, remember you donated to this. Now there's another animal shelter in your area that's also got a cause because they want to build a new, you know, play area for the dogs or something.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's really nice to be able to use that and kind of increase the stickiness of the site so that you keep going back. And does it actually send things, like, does that get surfaced in Facebook, like right from within Facebook to me, or do I have to actually click on something and go to their site?
It's usually when you go to the site where it gets surfaced, but, you know, that chunk of data that they've got and that insight that they're getting out of it, they can then use for different types of marketing and those types of things.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I'm very passionate about cancer research specifically, so that's great. And you know, you want to make the time to give and that sort of thing. And I know we at Microsoft have a giving campaign where once a year we all kind of try, you know, give, and there's a great opportunity. Microsoft makes it really easy, just a couple button clicks, and a lot of us are, you know, giving anyway. And so that's really great to have that integration and that reminder and just suggestions of, hey, this is something that is close to your what you're passionate about giving be able to make that difference. So that's really, really cool. Very, very cool example. Now, you mentioned, so one of the other things that's kind of cool is you mentioned that they only spin up this thing once a night, right? Mm-hmm. And then they shut it back down. And we had talked before about how, you know, HD Insight is a little bit more expensive. And so it's very cool, the fact that they can just spin it up and get that processing done and then be able to take it down and not have to pay that money anymore. And I understand the reason we can do that is because we've actually separated the processing and the data in the way HD Insight is implemented. Mm-hmm. So that way you have that cheap storage, you spin up the expensive clusters, do that processing, but then you can take them down and you're not paying for them anymore, and anything, any processing that happened is stored just in cheap storage that's not a thing. So that's another kind of really cool, I think, advantage of HD Insight and kind of what,
you know,
what they're offering it.
We see a lot of people who are looking at the cloud for big data specifically for that reason, because you know, they can very much size exactly how much compute they need to whatever job they need.
Okay.
You know, and then that's also something we're taking a little bit further with the Data Lake Analytics service, which is, if you think of HD Insight as a cluster service, Data Lake Analytics is a job service. So the only thing you pay for is an individual job.
Okay.
And so, you know, when you write a script and say, hey, I want to go run this big data job, you can actually just take the slider and say, oh, go from 0 to 1,000 nodes. Those get provisioned right away. Your job runs, gets torn down right after that, and that's then the only thing that you pay for. So that kind of scalability in the cloud, as well as the economic flexibility that you get to kind of pick and choose where you want to spend your money, is something that is we're seeing a lot of customers come to the cloud for the big data workloads because of that.
All right, that's great. And so while we're on the topic of data lake analytics, can we talk through, I think some people are sometimes confused about the different terms we have, because there's actually the data lake and then data lake analytics and some of these other things. So could you just kind of speak to what those different offerings are the names and what that actually maps to in each of those cases?
Yeah, so it's pretty simple, as any good computer science naming problem is. Data Lake refers to our three big data engines. There's three parts to it. The first is the Data Lake Store. Mm-hmm. That's going to sit at the bottom. It's a massively scalable store. The key things that we're doing there is that we don't want customers to have to worry about limits, like, oh, I can only have a file that's this big or an account that's this big, and have it scale really, really well, have it secured with Azure Active Directory. So you and I both work for Microsoft, so I can say, oh, I want to grant Redmond/Genmar access to this file. Mm-hmm. I don't have to kind of mess around with anything else. I just use Active Directory for that.
Okay.
And then the final thing that's cool about that is the API surface is HDFS.
Nice.
And so what that means is pretty much anything on the planet that speaks HDFS, which is basically every big data project,
right,
can read or write data into the store.
All right, so that's blob storage plus. Blob storage kind of to be able to easily put things in there, plus give you that additional functionality where you don't have to worry about scaling limitations or size limitations.
It's really a storage tier that's optimized for data that you want to do analytics on top of. When you take these things and want to spin up 1,000 nodes and process on top of it, that pushes the system differently, and so that's what we built that for.
Awesome.
So the second part of Data Lake is then HD Insight.
Okay.
Talked about that a little bit earlier. That's mm-hmm. our managed Hadoop and Spark and Storm and H-based service.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the easiest way to get up and running with any of the Apache Hadoop components. And it's fully managed, so that means that if it breaks at 3 in the morning, somebody on our team wakes up, and so you don't have to have an ops person running the cluster and those types of things.
Awesome. Matt will take care of it for you.
Yeah. Just mwinkle@microsoft.com. And the other thing that's nice about that is it's fully supported, too. So you can call Microsoft support and say, hey, I've got a problem with my Spark job. Please help.
Okay.
And we'll pick up the phone and say, yes, how can we help and take care of that?
That's great.
And then the final part of that is the analytics service, which we just talked about. And really, the distinction between HD Insight and the analytics service, one's that cluster service. Mm-hmm. So you get a bunch of customization and a bunch of control.
Mm-hmm.
With the analytics service, you get a little bit more convenience and a little bit more efficiency.
All right.
So that's kind of the trade-off between the two.
Okay, very cool. And if people wanted to get started or play with some of these things, how can they get started? What's available?
So you can just go to, all of it's available today. HD Insight is generally available. The Data Lake Store and analytics services are in preview. And so you can get started with those just going to azure.com/bigdata. And that'll land you at the right spot, or just go in and navigate to any one of those three services and start learning more, and you can get started up and running with them.
Awesome. And then one last thing. If people want to keep in touch on what we're doing in the big data space and kind of follow our adventures there, are you on Twitter, or is there a way they can stay connected with you?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at mwinkle.
At mwinkle.
Yep.
All right, cool. So you can keep in touch and learn more about Microsoft's path in the big data world. Thank you so much for your time,
Thank
Matt.
You.
Take care.